from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiver. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hardman. Jackpot.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Sunday right here on 1080. The Fan. The Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, YouTube, and Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher the Third. Across the glass, of course, as always, I got Jordan Schultz, Schultzy, with me in this AM. How are we doing today?
Happy Sunday, bro. Who do you think you are? I am. I think I'm just going to start repeating that every Sunday, because that clip, man, that bowler. I can't remember his name, but screaming at what, a kid, I think, in the crowd that supposedly, like, made a gesture at him or something. Like, God, I just want to be that guy. I want to be that guy.
God, the name is escaping me.
He's a bowler. Who cares?
Yeah. All I know of, I know one bowler, professional bowler's name, Norm Duke. That was a professional bowler at one point. Really good one.
Norm
Duke. This dude, who you think I am, God, it's killing me. But yeah, I mean, it will get the juices flowing. It will get the juices flowing in the morning, especially on this Sunday where it's... as far as sports go, Pete Weber.
Good.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that guy. Pete Weber.
Yeah.
Totally just struck a chord in my Britain.
Classic. Classic, yeah. Pete Weber. Yeah, I mean, this Sunday morning, it is the final day of Olympics action winding down. We are getting some preseason football. We do, of course, have MLB baseball, but this is the last little Sunday, last bastion of sporting that we have until NFL regular season, basically. I mean, the Olympics, thank God for them this year. They have made the dog days of summers a little bit more bearable. I mean,
that's fun.
Yeah, you got to be thankful for that.
But I stuck watching preseason football yesterday instead. No, I would have rather watched the men's marathon and like the handball championship. And I think the bronze medal match of the United States water polo team that happened at like 1:30 a.m. last night. Live watched it. It was awesome.
Yeah, the Olympics, they've done a great job of keeping me happy with sports consumption. Again, you know, I love baseball, but it can only do so much during the summertime. It's it can be rough. So the Olympics have done a great job of that. Some of the moments that have come of it, but boy, I mean, there is one over the last few days that has just taken the internet by storm. I feel bad for her. I feel bad for the competition itself, because when you're looking to put it on the map and show people how good of a quote unquote sport it is and how cool it is, and, you know, try and earn some respect for it, you know, give it a name. And then you have the breakdancer from Australia go out and put on the display that she did.
Wow.
No, I haven't looked into, I know that she won, somehow won a competition to qualify for that. But
did she really?
I'm just wondering who she knows or who her parents know, or because you're telling me in the entire country of Australia, that was the best person that they could run out there.
I mean, it was embarrassing. It didn't even look like they knew. It's like what they were doing. It's like somebody coming in who'd never hosted a radio show before. Say hi. I'm on the microphone.
Some of the memes and tweets that were coming from the video and the highlight, well, I guess you could call them highlights, of the Australian breakdancer are just fantastic. Like, it has been, it's been a highlight of the Olympics. One of the top 10, top 5 moments, perhaps, of the Olympics, Australian breakdancer. I mean, I can't think of a whole lot, well... The one great thing about the Olympics is obviously highlighting the athletic prowess of some of the athletes around the world. But, my God, it is the down bad Olympics, because there are just tens everywhere you look, every competition.
Oh, my God. You're not kidding. I don't know if you saw the long jump, especially the female long jump. Whew! I mean, you got to have muscles in a particular region on your body to really succeed in the long jump, and boy do they, Joe, boy do they. And lots for the ladies to enjoy as well, or men looking at the other men. If you're into that, it's fine, nothing wrong with that. There's big old junks sticking out, and of those speedos, of those whatever they're tight shorts, whatever they're called, it's a smorgasbord of viewing for everyone.
I'm glad you noticed that, Jordan. But what is it? We talked about the guy with the pole vault last week.
Oh yeah,
that his pole got in the way of the pole vault.
Yeah, the French pole vaulter.
I could not corroborate this story in time, as we do in today's society. I just read a headline and did no further research into it. But apparently that dude was offered a porn deal. For like $250,000 or something like that.
Yeah, that's kind of the going rate for somebody that's like not known before this kind of thing happens. I think if you're like a little bit bigger of a star, or if you're like an Instagram hot woman, the offer is right around $1 million. But hey, man, take that junk, $250,000. That's free money, bro, for what, 30 seconds worth of work? Take it.
That's got to be one of the, and also a top 10 list moment of the Olympics, is that dude's junk getting in the way of the pole vault.
No kidding.
You know, this might be good for the text line here. 503-864-6326, the Vancouver Ford text line. Text in your favorite Olympics moments of this 2024 rendition, because a lot of like great athletic moments, but as well as a lot of Australian breakdancing moments as well. I mean, it was that's the great thing, is the Olympics, just they, especially in the viral world of 2024, there's plenty of great moments that we miss out on. And, you know, again, the competitions, the games are great, but then there are moments, as if there's the pole vaulter and then the Australian breakdancer, where it's just those start making the headlines. But also, easy on the eyes.
Very
easy on the eyes, this 2024 Olympics.
I love it, except for the breakdancing. I think we can all agree that 2028 should not include breakdancing in the Olympics. This should not be an Olympic sport. The thing that we see a dude doing outside the mall, and I'm not saying it doesn't involve athletic talent and ability and skill, because it obviously does, but then under that same umbrella, ballroom dancing would be like a qualifier, like for some kind of Olympic event then, right? Like, that takes crazy athletic of like skill, like Dancing with the Stars kind of events. Well, like, you're not fat doing those.
Hey, they let horses dance for medals, right? Dressage.
So
why not let humans dance for
medals? Because it looks stupid. How do you judge it?
Well, again, there's a lot of sports in the Olympics where I don't know how to judge it either. You know,
but is this a true
synchronized swimming? I don't know how you judge that.
Because it is actually a sport, and there's some, I mean, I think trying
Right, but how do you judge it? That's the thing.
Perfectly aligning with the what is it, eight or six others that you're swimming with, I think.
Or it's sometimes just two. They have the dual synchronized swimming where it's just two chicks out there.
You know, there was, I think, a couple of Olympic events that had a single synchronized swimming event. I S you not. For some reason, in the early 1900s, we thought that a single person synchronized swimming was actually a thing.
We got the final medal count as well. I can get to that in a second. But as we talk about physical feats and athletes being able to accomplish something that, you know, they've been training their whole life for, they've been working forever for, I feel like I've been working up towards this moment myself. And this goes to the poll question on 1080 The Fan's Twitter page. Sports Sunday poll question brought to you by Taco Town. Have you seen the SNL skit of Taco Town?
What? It's been a while. You're going to have to refresh my memory.
It's a taco wrapped in a soft shell taco. But wait, we also put that in a hard shell chalupa.
Thank you.
Shell with wrapped in guacamole. But then we baked it in a corn husk and filled that with beans. Oh, but wait, we also put that in a pizza. Pizza? Now that's what I call a taco.
Exactly.
And then we put it in a carry bag filled with vegetarian salsa.
No, that
Taco
is a good...
Town!
Thank you. No, you refreshed my memory just fine. That is a funny bit.
So Sports Sunday poll question brought to you by Taco Town. How many street tacos could I eat in one sitting?
Ooh.
Stipulations are on this. Double tortilla, because you know the street tacos, they usually have the... you got to go with two tortillas, so that way the one tortilla is not breaking after one bite, and then it's just spilling out all over the place. So double tortilla, meat, onions, cilantro, sauce is acceptable. So if I want some sort of green sauce, my favorite, a habanero sauce, which could make things more difficult. For the sake of the competition, I might have to omit the habanero sauce.
Throw a little sprinkle of cheese on there. I could probably eat at least
a little
15.
Cogita, as you call it.
No, shut up. I don't want my Cogita cheese, and I'm going to go sit next to Bam Abadayo, and I'm gonna say everything I know wrong, how to say it incorrectly. But no.
Like, I will say that still lives in my head when I'm at the store. I was looking for some taco ingredients the other night, and I was like, oh, where's the Cogita cheese?
I'm glad that I can live rent-free in your head, even if it's just a misnomer.
Some
like
Cogita.
That. God.
Yeah, Cotija cheese.
Cotija. Excuse me.
I omitted the Cotija cheese the other night because I knew that I was like, listen, I'll use it for these street tacos and the tacos I was making, but chances are that I will not use it again for like the next like 2 weeks or something like that.
Did you throw it on salad or anything?
I guess so. I'm not a big salad guy.
I gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, well, I love salad. I love salad. I just don't make enough of it.
On the Vancouver Ford text line, if there's any dude that's eating salad not because their wife is pushing them to do so, I'd love to hear about it because there's probably very few and far between, except the jacked 6'5" dude running outside of my neighborhood this morning. That guy probably eats a ton of salad.
I'll say sales boss Ryan Cooley, he is a big salad guy.
Big salad. Well, but is his wife doing like that for him? Is she making him eat it, or is he like, just, dude, I love salads?
I'm gonna guess that it's his wife, yeah, but exactly. He's got some good looking salads sometimes.
See, and that's the key. If you can actually, and not just pour dressing on the salad, but kind of vary it up a little ways, do like a little Mexican feel, some tortilla strips in there one day, and then the next day you kind of go maybe an Asian feel, some of that balsamic vinaigrette. Vary it up. It works. It can be good, but most of the time, I feel like the wifey's really helping that. Nothing wrong with that, but us dudes just don't like the greens, man.
My girlfriend has a salad book of just different salads that you can...
Really?
Yeah. And she made one a couple weeks back where it was like... what is it? Burrata cheese?
Yes, burrata. It's the
burrata, and it had like peaches in it also.
Oh, wait. The peaches in the burrata or like with the...
No, like in the salad.
Oh, see, I'm right out on fruit on salad. Right out.
Really? Not even like an apple walnut or pear walnut or like cranberries and nuts on there as well?
No, I can't do it. The sweet and savory, which that... I get it. That's, you know, flavor combos or, you know, gastro... whatever science says that we're supposed to enjoy these flavors together. I don't always enjoy the crunch of an apple with some lettuce. It's just weird to me. So maybe I'm just too much of a fatty.
Yeah, text line, Vancouver 4 text line says, sign me up for all the potato and macaroni salad. I don't think that's the kind of salad.
Exactly. This is exactly what I'm talking about.
And I hear you. You give me some Hawaiian mac salad.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Dude. But for the sake of the poll question, let me read the number options. How many street tacos could I eat in one sitting? Because I've been talking about this for months now that I want to attempt this because I just feel like whenever I go out to a food truck or somewhere that has street tacos,
yeah.
I order my four and then I finish them and
you're a four guy. Okay.
Yeah, I go four, but whenever
I go three in a burrito.
See, that's impressive. See, you equate that burrito into street tacos, that's probably another three street tacos.
I mean, it's just bean and cheese, so it's usually kind of the smaller option. Gotcha. I just, dude, I'm weird. I love a good bean and cheese burrito.
So. I'm going, so these are the options. How many street tacos could I eat in one sitting? 8, 10, 12, 14 plus.
Ooh.
Right now, we're 34 votes in. It is 35.3% are going to 10 street tacos. Even split between 12 and 14, and then 8 is 11.8. I think I could definitely do 8 pretty easily. I've done 6 before. I think I've possibly done 8 before camping one time. So I think the over-under should be placed at, I'd say 10.5. 10.5 would be a solid number.
I'd probably go over that. I think the 14 plus is where I'm lying. Seriously, dude, just give me a little bit of good sauce on there.
Let's up it. Let's get that up to 11.5. Okay. I think 11.5 is that's a solid number to stay on.
12.
But
12 or more.
With this being said, I do want to know what are some of the best street tacos in the city. Because I know there are some, and there's a Netflix documentary. I want to say it's called The Taco Chronicles.
I tried to watch. It's like a docu-series, and I tried to watch that, I think.
Yeah, 3 seasons of it?
Yeah, you can't. It's kind of the same thing after, like, a certain amount of episodes. Not that it's not yummy, but you just kind of move on to something else.
They have 8 episodes in season 3?
Jeez, this is all tacos. Hey.
Now that's what I call a taco.
Yeah, what a pizza taco. Damn.
Yeah, exactly. That's going to be in there, one of those episodes, the Taco Town Taco. Taco Town! Oh, my God. Yeah, please text in any street taco places within the city of Portland. Newburgh's got like 20, it seems like.
We've got one down the street.
Oh, yeah, there's one right over by the Dutch Bros.
I think they only, it's like two or three bucks per street taco.
I don't think it is. I want to say the last time I went, it was like $4. Oh, and I was like, that's unacceptable.
I think they raised the price a dollar. Souk bought me a taco last year, and it was only like $3.
Yeah, well, as inflation goes, the price of taco also increases.
The taco index. You got to update me on what the taco index
is,
baby.
Yeah.
I need to know about my market plans based on my taco numbers. Yeah.
All right, let's get to going here. We have some U.S. Stuff to get to. USA. Team America, F yeah. We also have some rookie quarterbacks to get to. I also wanted to look at, because I believe we have some of the coaches' polls, different college football polls that are starting to come out with the top 25 teams. I want to start getting slightly aroused with some college football. And the schedule that we got ahead, some games that are on that week 0, week 1 slate, because we are so close. I'm right there. We are edging college football season right now. I don't know if I can say that on air, but it's too late at this point. And then we got another division to get to. Let's get to everyone's favorite division, the AFC South, huh?
Oh, yeah. Huge fan here.
Who doesn't love the AFC South with, I think, 3 of the 4 newest teams that have been introduced into the league, with the Houston Texans, Tennessee Titans, Jacksonville Jaguars, and Indianapolis Colts. We'll get to that in the second hour. But first, France, they're known for their food. They're known for their chefs, but they don't have a Chef Curry. We get to that next here. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Two U.S. gold medals in basketball. No, not the 3x3, unfortunately. Actually, I don't even know if the women 3x3 team won a gold or not.
No, they did. I think they won the bronze.
I know the men did not, but
actually, the 3x3 women's basketball team, I think, has some hope if Haley Van Lith's going to be back for them next year or next Olympics. She might be on the actual full basketball team because she'll be in the WNBA. But she good. She good, man.
I think it would be hilarious if in 2028 they asked Caitlin Clark, hey, do you want to be on the U.S. women's basketball team? She's like, no, but I'll do the 3-on-3 team.
Oh, my gosh. Wouldn't that, like, just an F you to Dawn Staley and all the shade that she's been throwing Caitlin Clark, then trying to make up for it, like, a couple of weeks later. But the men need to refigure their 3-on-3 roster. Maybe get some college kids in there.
Yeah, they need to step it up from old man Jimmer Fredette and Canyon Berry. I think
that
we can do better. We can do better as a nation, my fellow Americans. But first and foremost, congrats to the U.S. women's basketball for escaping by the skin of your teeth against the French women. I mean, my God, they were the halftime score was 25-25. They ended up going behind in the third quarter. To France, the French took a lead, and then U.S. had to claw back into it. But boy, they were inches away from this getting sent to overtime. If they miss a free throw there at the end, then and again, inches. The French basketball player is right behind the third base, the third 3-point line, rather. Then the French women are winning this. So at the end, 3.8 seconds left, USA hits a free throw to go up 67-64. The French inbound it, get it up court, and she throws up a shot. The French player, I don't have her name, excuse me, and she makes it. She banks it in, but it is a Kevin Durant Eastern Conference Finals moment where her foot was on the line and actually just above the 3-point line. So the U.S. women's ends up winning by 1 point, 67-66. If her foot is literally just 1 foot, maybe even a few inches back behind the 3-point line, then they would have tied it and sent it to overtime. But the U.S. women's team, they escape 67-66, and they get the gold medal. So that was game one of two in basketball, U.S. versus France, for the gold medal. Then we had the game yesterday, U.S. men's team versus the French basketball
team. That was some viewing. Oh, my goodness.
What a great game.
That was some primetime viewing.
That was a great game overall from beginning to end. I mean, it seemed like the biggest lead that the U.S. ever got out to was maybe 13 points, 14 points, something like that.
It was, I think, early France had the lead, and I think
I remember France getting a lead on a layup or something like that, and they had to take a timeout.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the French team, they definitely, like, they did not give up the entire way through. And we saw it at the end. They cut it to 3 points.
Yeah, and it was to six at three different points in the game as well.
So. Yeah, it was a great game back and forth where the U.S. men's team, whenever you thought that they were going to start putting the team away, the French just came back. And then we got to the fourth quarter. And I don't know where this ranks as far as his basketball career moments, but what Steph Curry did in that fourth quarter, damn near making every three-pointer he threw up, and then capping it off with that final three-pointer that finally put the game out of reach, where he was being double-guarded, put on a dribble move, step back, let me throw this ball and have it touch the ceiling of the stadium and drop in perfectly. That dude... One, isn't it nice rooting for Steph Curry?
Actually, yes. No, you were rooting for all of the villains of the NBA last night.
What a concept. Like, being able to root for Steph Curry for once in your life.
What a cool combination of actually getting to see LeBron, Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry on one team for something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, weeks ago, when they showed up to Vegas to start training, and the videos were coming out of them, like, all meeting with each other in the conference room at whatever hotel and high-fiving, and I was like, all right, I'm in. Mm-hmm. I am totally like, yes, this is awesome. Seeing these guys all play together. Because a lot of these players I don't like when it comes to NBA, right?
Yeah. Devin Booker's very easily hateable.
Yeah. Yes.
Come on.
LeBron and Anthony Davis, they're Lakers. I mean, Steph Curry, what he has done to the NBA for years now, right?
Did you see the Tyrese Halliburton post on X after the game?
Oh, what is it? Like when you do nothing in the group project and still get an A?
Yeah, with a picture of him holding his gold medal and grinning. I love you, Tyrese. I am a fan. Good job leaning into that, buddy.
Well, he was just vibes guy this entire gold medal run. Like I don't know how many minutes, if any, he played. Maybe some in group play. But again, that dude was just happy to be there, 100%.
I know, like the Tatum memes started to go viral because of his frowning attitude in that game one. Like Halliburton's just like, hey, this is cool. No big D.
But also, when it comes to Tyrese Halliburton, looks like he enjoyed himself last night. Because there's video going around of him and Anthony Edwards arriving at a club or some function in Paris last night. And they arrive there, and the vehicle opens up, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 snow bunnies make their way out of the vehicle, followed by Tyrese Halliburton and Anthony Edwards. So it looks like they enjoyed themselves, some of the French women in the area last night. Had some company with them to their to the clubs, to the VIP section.
Oh, I'm sure they had so much to talk about.
Yes, exactly. It was a lot of personalities matching up there,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah. Tell me what your sign is. Yeah, what did you study in school?
Good for them, though. God. Good for them.
It is good for them. I was wondering what they were going to do last night. And it's funny.
They did things. That's for sure.
You don't see the pictures of like Bron and Steph, who were the older dudes. I kind of wonder what they did. Like I know Steph obviously was there with his wife.
They drank a bunch of wine and then ended up going to bed. Probably is what it was.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? Never mind. No, it was fun. It was fun to see all those guys winning, but I do wonder what the old guys did to celebrate. But seriously, what a game. I just could not believe the story of everything coming together like it did. You know, after a week ago, I'm telling people to go hedge their bets, maybe throw some money on France. Like, I think they were, Joe, they were plus 1,400 to win the gold medal at the start of this Olympic tournament in group play. And yeah, so $10 would have won you $140. And the fact that there was actually a shot for them to pull that off, I think Yabu Sele was his name, along with Victor Wembanyama. I believe those two combined for almost 50 points for France. Like, those two almost single-handedly beat the United States and won the gold for France in their home turf. And honestly, if it weren't for their lack of hitting free throws, and if they could shoot the three just a little bit better during that game, Joe.
Yeah, they couldn't really make any three-pointers, it seemed like.
No, it would have been a much different story. At the end of the first half, I think they had shot the same. Both the U.S. and France had shot the same amount of shots exactly, and it was just so bad on the three-point side. I think the U.S. had hit half of theirs at that point, and the French were under a third. So you're just not going to win a game if you're not hitting those shots. But it was still close, man. And Victor Wembanyama, he playing on this stage, scoring as many points as he did, hitting those threes. I wish that he would have maybe used his size and like taken it to the hoop instead of just jacking up some of those threes at the end. Might have been a different story, but we are in for a crazy future of basketball, my friend.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that goes to show, like, obviously we lose LeBron, KD, and Steph. Someone at the place I was at yesterday watching the game, they said, is like, does LeBron come back for 2028? I was like, you know, it's a move I could totally see him pulling, but also he's probably going to be 2 years retired at that point.
Isn't his roster spot basketball too valuable?
Yeah. Ugh. Like, that's tough. And as far as age goes, he'll be what, like 43? 44
yeah,
at that
that's
point.
Tough. Like, how do you, this is the Olympic roster. We're talking, what, 13 guys? Nah.
And also, straight elder abuse on him yesterday. The Gershon Yabusele.
Yeah.
That dunk. Oh, my God. That was one of the, you want to talk about top 10 Olympics highlights? France might have lost the game, but that dude has a highlight for the rest of his life that he can show his kids and grandkids of him just blaming all over LeBron James.
I posterized LeBron James. Yeah. Yes, I did.
Dude.
So awesome.
I hope he has multiple bottles of Bordeaux in his future. That dude should never have to pay for a drink again in the country of France after doing that. That was amazing.
No, he's so good, honestly. It's like that's the great thing, too, about the Olympics is you see these international players that you never hear about before, international play or FIBA World Championships or Olympics competitions like this. And it's like, oh, Yabusele. Like, and that kind of also reminds you how good the players in the NBA are because he's not in the NBA.
Like, who?
Yeah, he'd rather be making $5 million a year in France as opposed to the league minimum here trying to make a roster. Like, this is how good these basketball players are that aren't even in the league.
Well, I will say the French Ben Wallace, he might be getting some calls from NBA teams after yesterday's game because he was good outside of that one highlight. But
you thought that too. You thought, yeah, as soon as I saw him, I'm like, oh,
I was
Ben
like,
Wallace,
dude,
is back.
Yeah, the French Ben Wallace, let's go. But overall, I mean, again, that game was encapsulated by Steph Curry and really the run of this tournament at the end of the U.S. men's team. I mean, he had what? How many points against Serbia? Like 36, I believe he finished with against Serbia.
And like another 8 or 9 threes, something stupid. And he had 8 threes in the final game.
Yeah, he just went off. Again, it is very refreshing to be able to root for him. And I now understand why Golden State fans have been so damn annoying for the last 15 years. Because when you have a dude like that is able to just rip the heart and soul out of an entire country in a matter of minutes. And the way, like, and I've said this before, I remember some golf highlights of his, is like his brain needs to be studied as far as like the part that controls accuracy in your brain.
No kidding.
And for you to have that muscle memory to be able, because again, it translates from golf to basketball to damn near everything he does in life. Is everything is so pinpoint accurate. That is like what part, the medulla oblongata, what is it in your brain that is able to control you being that accurate all the time? Like, it's just like they're always cash, no rim.
And
that
so
final
quick.
Three-pointer, yes, exactly.
So quick with the wrist. That last shot, I mean, I told my wife with 2 minutes to go, I'm like, after that first 3 out of 4, I don't think Steph is missing for the rest of the game. He looks like he's on one. And then that final three where you said he kind of threw it like up to touch the ceiling on the highest point of his arc before it bounced in, that one didn't look like it was going in, and it still went in. It's just unbelievable.
Absolutely wild. Absolutely wild. So the U.S. men's basketball team, they bring home the gold, as they should. I believe now that's 17 total gold medals for U.S. men's basketball compared to 4 for the rest of the world in the Olympics since they started playing basketball. So
something like 56 Olympic wins in a row for the U.S. men's team as well.
I think it was the women's team.
Oh, women. Okay, my bad. I'm transposing those. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Hey, credit to those ladies. That's badass.
And I saw that graphic this morning when I got in. Was that that was what was at stake in that game against the French women too. Is winning that game extends their international streak of 56 straight wins.
That's crazy.
That is wild. So, double victory, double gold for basketball in the USA yesterday. Congratulations. And the U.S. medal count, they are now tied as far as golds go with China at 40, but they absolutely blew out the overall medal count, I think, by like 40 medals. So.
Doesn't that irk you, though, that the golds are still tied with China? As an American, that irks me. I feel like we just needed one more.
Hey, I wouldn't expect anything less from China. They're like, no, we do not do anything less than gold, all right? We win, all right? Silver, bronze, that is not acceptable to us.
Their male high diver yesterday that won gold, he was perfect. I mean, wow. No splash. That was pretty fun to watch, too.
All right, we got to catch up, take a break. Let's get to some preseason NFL football rookie quarterbacks. They were playing in droves yesterday. Let's talk about a few of them. Caleb Williams, JJ McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, the whole lot of them. We get to that next here, Sports Sunday. But first, Jordan Schultze, Schultz with a Sports Center update. NFL rookie quarterbacks were playing a ton yesterday all over the field. And we actually have one more set to play here in about 20 minutes, and that is Bo Nix. He will kick off with his Denver Broncos at 10 o'clock on NFL Network against the Indianapolis Colts if you're looking to go catch the former Oregon Duck quarterback with some preseason action. But we had Caleb Williams, we had Jaden Daniels, we had Drake May, we had J.J. McCarthy all take snaps yesterday in preseason action. Let's start first with the first overall pick, Caleb Williams. And he played pretty damn good. And he did what he has been known to do at USC. And watching Chicago and the highlights from yesterday is that when things break down, when he has to improvise, he is going to be very, very good. What the Bears, I think, can do for him to benefit what he does best and when he's trying to make plays outside of the pocket and running around, and again, when things kind of break down is when he seems to be at his best, is get that dude on the run. Play action, boot out passes where he is leaving the pocket and looking for something downfield. I mean, the highlight from yesterday was the completion he had to Cole Kmet, where Caleb Williams was booting out to the right. Things were kind of breaking down, and then he just loaded up and fired an absolute bullet to Cole Kmet, like 25 yards downfield, right along the sideline, and completed the pass. And it was like, okay, that's that's pretty damn good. He also had a play against where the pocket was breaking down around him, and he just kind of tossed the ball to DeAndre Swift like a sidearm, like just here, just take it, getting rid of it at the last moment. And DeAndre Swift was able to get a bunch of yards after catch and take it like 40 something yards. But again, where he's going to excel is when things are falling apart around him and he's able to use his athleticism. He had a nice run as well for about 15 yards. But if Chicago can create an offense to get him out of the pocket, kind of like what the Texans were doing a little bit with Stroud last year, especially in that playoff game against the Browns, I think that will be extremely beneficial for Caleb Williams as far as he's going to have to develop in the pocket, obviously. I mean, that goes without saying, but I think you play to his strengths, and that is when he is on the run outside of the pocket, having to play somewhat unconventional quarterback. And that's what he yesterday at least exceeded at, was on those types of plays.
No, I love seeing him on the run. You're so right. It's very reminiscent of what we saw in college, that when a play's breaking down, he's got the skill to do anything. And with all those weapons in Chicago, yeah, he looked good yesterday. I do wonder, I didn't catch who he was playing against, if it was like the first or second team defense on the other side, and if this is happening like against, you know, like college kids that are just being drafted. or if this was against a bunch of NFL vets. I'm more interested to see who he was doing this against. I'm not trying to knock the kid. I'm excited to see it, but he does still need to learn a couple of things. Namely, you talked about his pocket presence. He does still need to gain more confidence to be able to stand there for 3 to 5 seconds.
He's got a little happy feet in there.
And then that big, I remember the big thing at USC was when he couldn't stand in the pocket, when it wasn't really this kind of chaos and the play's breaking down and he's already kind of on the outside on the run making something happen. If the play broke down while he was in the pocket, he would just run straight back. And so there are things that he needs to fix. We didn't see those yesterday because, I don't know, they probably planned those plays out to almost to a T for what the first two series that he was in. So I think Caleb knew what he was running beforehand and they practiced those plays. And that's obviously how you start each week in the NFL, but we did not see, you know, later on the second, the third quarter when he's got to improvise from those calls from new sexy head coach Matt Eberflus. So I'm excited to see what he does going forward. It was nice yesterday, but not totally convinced, but damn, it was good.
Jane Daniels, I believe he played just one series against the New York Jets, but it was a good series. I mean, 2 of 3, 45 yards, including a pretty long completion down the right sideline where he had to drop it in a bucket and he completed it and for about, gosh, I don't know, 30 something yards. And then he capped off his one drive with a touchdown on a little zone read fake that was able to score from about 5 yards out. So he looked good though. 44 yard play is what it was on that pass. So Jane Daniels, small sample size there, but in that small sample size, looked really good in that in his play there. The one guy that played the most out of the rookie quarterbacks, J.J. McCarthy. So the Vikings, they had Sam Darnold out there for the first series, so kind of looking like he will be their week one starter. But man, they threw J.J. McCarthy to the wolves yesterday. 17 passes yesterday, 11 of 17, 188 yards, including a pair of touchdowns and an interception. But I was pleasantly surprised at how well McCarthy played yesterday. He moved around in the pocket. He had a big touchdown completion down the left side of the field, I believe 45 yards. He had another one for 33 yards. I mean, he was able to make plays for them. There was a couple, again, his interception was not good. The Raiders did a good job of putting pressure on him, and he limited his mistakes. He did have one play that could have been another interception, but he looked pretty decent out there. And again, I know, like you said, Joel, in preseason, who is he playing up against? But in preseason for these guys, throw him to the wolves.
Yeah.
Having him pass 17 times in NFL action, that's what you need to do for a player like J.J. McCarthy that needs to get ready before the season, especially if he's not going to be the starter and not going to get that playing time the first few weeks. Have him throw the ball as much as possible. Have him make mistakes in an actual game setting.
Exactly.
And seeing the amount of work that he got in that Vikings game, and again, looking decent. 11 of 17 for 108 yards. That's a pretty solid preseason debut for the kid out of Michigan.
I mean, that surpasses his total passes per game at Michigan by a lot, right?
For the entire season.
It seemed like he never threw the ball at Michigan. So yeah, Kevin O'Connell, and maybe this is the Kevin O'Connell effect on J.J. McCarthy, because having that coach as your leader coming up, I mean, it's not like Sean Payton played quarterback and he's able to tell Bo Nix exactly what to do because of the experience of being in that position. That is what Kevin O'Connell offered to Kirk Cousins, what he's offering to J.J. McCarthy. We literally have not seen him throw enough to know what he is. And yeah, it was good yesterday. I saw a couple of those passes, but once again, I'm trying not to get too into any of these guys too early. But
no, I mean,
he looked good.
And of course, like the one play from Caleb Williams where he fired it to Cole Kmet, people are on Twitter like, God, he's going to be so good.
Oh, fire. Every play. Like, well, he's going to get picked off in the regular season. This is preseason right now, y'all.
And the last quarterback, rookie quarterback, Drake May, it was underwhelming to say the least, but so was the drive. He played in 7 snaps, which 3 of them were runs. 3 of them were passes, and I went back and watched the highlights. 2 of them were like screen plays, dump offs to the running backs. Like, it was nothing to be really impressed with as far as what he can do at the quarterback position. And then he had another pass downfield that went incomplete. So still a lot left to be desired as far as watching what Drake May does. But in 12 minutes, we got Bo Nix against the Indianapolis Colts. Denver Broncos, Indianapolis Colts on the NFL Network. If you want to catch the last of the first round pick quarterbacks in action on some preseason football Sundays. So what I want to do, though, I want to look at some college football games. We are oh so close. Do you realize the first college football games of the year are less than 2 weeks away, Jordan?
That's just nuts.
I just went from 6 to noon immediately after saying that out loud. Let's get to some college football schedule. Week 0, week 1 matchups coming up here in less than 2 weeks. Dear God. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. Less than 2 weeks away from college football. That's right, less than 2 weeks. The first games are on August 24th. That means we literally have one Saturday left, and then we have college football.
Starting a little earlier this year because of the new playoff format or anything. I feel like this is slightly earlier, but maybe it's just because it's a leap year. I don't know.
Well, and so the first weekend, August 24th, there's four total games in the FBS.
Okay. Not a big week zero schedule.
No. The biggest of those games, though, Florida State at Georgia Tech, but actually it's at Dublin. Aer Lingus College Football Classic.
What's the
Seminoles
draw
versus the Yellow Jackets?
What's the draw there? Like, why isn't Notre Beer Dame always playing in Dublin?
Booze.
Well, no. I get that, but why aren't they connecting it to the Fighting Irish every single year? That makes no sense.
Yeah, and I want to say like 2 years ago it was like Nebraska versus Illinois.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Big Irish contingency in Georgia and Florida that we just don't know about.
Oh, yeah, lassie, I just got to go see the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe the Irish immigrated their way over to Nebraska over the years. They found their way. I mean, what goes hand in hand more than the Seminoles and the Irish, right?
There you go.
So that's the biggest game of that week zero. Montana State versus New Mexico. Can I intrigue you in some of that? That is technically an FBS matchup because of New Mexico.
Wow.
Then you also got SMU versus Nevada. SMU, an intriguing team to watch this year. I heard Durton Sprague talking to the guy, I don't know if it was a beat writer or the play-by-play for SMU the other day. But they're supposed to have a good season this year, so that's an intriguing matchup to look up.
Yeah, Dirt thinks they're going to be in the top 25.
Yeah, and his dirty pull, what he said was what he's trying to do is make it a pull to what he believes is how the year is going to finish up, essentially.
That makes sense.
Like, he believes that SMU at the end of the year will be one,
24,
of, the, yeah,
23,
one
yeah.
of the better teams. And so they'll go up against Nevada. And then the mighty Delaware State Hornets.
That's an easy Hornets. I feel like there's like 10 Hornet schools in the.
We yeah, literally have NCAA. Yellow Jackets and Hornets playing on the same weekend. Delaware State versus Hawaii on August 24th as well. So those are the four games that make up the week zero, if you will.
Is that the insertion game for Oregon leaving the Hawaii schedule?
It's quite possible.
Yeah, I'm like, Delaware State, huh? Like, that's a rando for Hawaii. Wow.
Delaware. Hi, I'm in Delaware. Let's look at the following week, though. Week one matchups. And we got games on Thursday. I mean, that Thursday, August 29th, we have like 15 games, 15 to 20, it looks like.
Yeah, the NFL doing Thursday
now, the matchups aren't great, but.
No, but the NFL doing Thursday night football. I know college is traditionally, since I was a kid and before, have been playing Thursday night games, but I do feel like the number of Thursday night games is increasing like fivefold. And we're seeing 15, you know, crappy ones, but Thursday night football games for NCAA. That's cool.
As far as Thursday, August 29th goes, there's probably two games that would be the most intriguing to watch as far as matchups go. I mean, there are teams that we quote unquote care about in this area. You know, Utah will be playing against Southern Utah, division or conference opponent Illinois going up against Eastern Illinois. If you want to see what the Fighting Illini are like to start the season, which is just, again, as we get close to the season, these games play out, the fact that we have to like look at these teams like Maryland and Rutgers and what they're doing. But the two matchups on that Thursday, North Carolina at Minnesota, a solid little Power 5 matchup there, ACC versus Big 10. But Thursday, 5 o'clock, August 29th, North Dakota State at Colorado. Colorado's an 8.5-point favorite. Dear God, please, please let the Bison win that game. I would love to see Colorado start their season off with a loss against North Dakota State. That would be one of the, that would already be one of the highlights of the college football season before it really even begins. If on a Thursday night game, when all eyes are going to be on them, it's on ESPN, North Dakota State, one of the most storied schools in FCS, comes into Colorado and beats them.
Yeah.
Please. Like, I would love to see that post-game press conference by Deion and the team, and I would love to see what Colorado Twitter, who has quickly become the most insufferable fan base in all of college football.
He'll be making sure to tell us that his son is still better than everybody else, though. Even if they lose, Shador will still be an NFL quarterback, and, like, well, that doesn't matter, for one, because if he's leading your team to losses like that, really? Like, is he going to succeed in the NFL? And then, two, get your roster together, bro! You got your kid Shiloh. Did you see that clip on Twitter where, like, he's like getting him off the field and then Shiloh's like running back on because, you know, he made a mistake and he's calling other players out like, I'm not the only one. And it's just like, your practices are chaos. Like, this is not a fun environment for anyone to be in.
Week one, the first official, like, real Saturday of college football where we get a full slate of games, 9 a.m., Clemson, Georgia.
Oh, let's go. I like that.
Yeah, I want to say that, I mean, Georgia probably ranked number one in the coaches poll to start the season, which doesn't surprise me. Yeah, they're number one. Clemson at number 14 in the first coaches poll of the college football season. So right away, 9 a.m. on August 31st, we're getting a top 15 matchup to start the day between Georgia and Clemson. Sign me up, baby.
Give me that right into my veins.
Oh, and then Penn State, West Virginia at 9 a.m. as well.
Yeah,
that'll be an interesting game. West Virginia is supposed to be a little bit better this year. Penn State always trying to be one of the best teams in the Big Ten, but falling short, seemingly losing to Ohio State and Michigan every year. So that'll be a fun game to watch at 9 a.m. as well. But I'm sure most eyeballs will be on Georgia and Clemson. Looking at the rest of the slate, someone on the YouTube chat saying 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away, rather, from seeing the Vikes take down Washington State. Oh, boy. We've seen that happen before. Portland State taking care of Washington State. That one's on the CW. You can watch that at noon CW.
Wonderful. Thom Brenneman's going to be calling that one.
Oh, really?
Well, I wonder because the CW has hired Thom Brenneman.
I saw that, yeah. But dear answer. God, don't give him a college football assignment already.
No, that's literally what he was hired to do.
I know, but...
He's going to be on their coverage at some point this season. I don't know
why.
Put him on a
crappy game like Bucknell versus Navy or something like that. Actually, don't even do that. Navy doesn't deserve him, all right? Put him against, like, what are some other CW games? I'm sure that's probably one of two CW games all day for the college football slate. But some other games that are happening that day, classic matchup that would have been cool in the 90s, Miami versus Florida, Mario Cristobal with a top 25 team again. But as long as he figures out how to, coach in-game situations, then we'll see what happens that one. But man,
can Cam Ward succeed under Mario Cristobal? We don't know.
Dude, yeah, and then Cam Ward and Damian Martinez out there in Miami.
Oh, yeah, Damian Martinez as well. Gosh, that's going to be quite the tandem. Mario is lucky that they fell into his lap, man.
Yeah, for real.
It's not he didn't recruit them. The Miami U, you know, that was what really got them there. I'm sorry. I know that school prestige apparently isn't a big thing anymore because it's not. But the names like Ohio State, Oregon, all right, people will laugh at me when I say Oregon, but like Alabama, Florida State, Miami, they still carry weight. They do.
Dear God, you know what the other CW game is on August 31st?
The one that Thom's calling? No, tell me.
He very well could be calling the Idaho State Bengals traveling to Corvallis to take on the Oregon State Beavers.
There you go. See, that's it. Yeah, Oregon State playing a nothing school. That's a perfect game for Thom Brenneman to sneak his way back into, you know, as a man of faith, trying to just make it in this world as a humble person that screwed up, looking for a second chance. Okay.
You also got Notre Dame, Texas A&M that weekend. Texas A&M getting a top 25 vote from, a top 25, I think, what was it, number 24, 20. They're number 20 in the first poll. Notre Dame number 7, so that's a top 25 matchup. I like how the coaches decided to give Texas A&M a top 25 appearance, so that way they could make that game a top 25 matchup in the first week of the season. So that'll be 4:30 on ABC. Texas A&M, a one-point favorite to start already over Notre Dame.
Ooh.
Number seven, Notre Dame.
Tasty betting lick there.
And then who else we got here? Mighty Lamar versus Texas State. Southeast Missouri State against New Mexico State. Wow, Washington. They kick off at 8 o'clock on August 31st against Weber State.
Wow.
I mean, dear God, playing that game already is annoying if you're Washington because you have to play Weber State, but then you have to play it at 8 o'clock at night.
Welcome to the wonderful world of the Big Ten.
And that's on the Big Ten Network.
That's what I'm saying. You are now a West Coast school in a Midwest-based conference, so good luck.
And then that Sunday, September 1st, all eyes will be on USC versus LSU. That game being played in Las Vegas, the Modelo Vegas Kickoff Classic
at
Allegiant Stadium. LSU, a 6.5-point favorite so far there. So
I love that LSU has to travel west, by the way, for one of these openers because, you know, Oregon.
Yeah, God forbid. God forbid an SEC team to go that far.
Yeah, Oregon going to Texas to basically play a faux away game at LSU. Like, it's not easy. It's not a neutral site game at all. This is more of a neutral site game. I like it.
Yeah, that game to just be standing by itself on September 1st before the NFL season kicks off, that will be a fun game to watch as well to see what USC does against a team like LSU. All right, hour number two coming up. We got a divisional preview to get to. The AFC South, Texans, Jags, Colts, and Titans. We look at over-under win totals. We look at the odds. I think we all might have a favorite for this division. But there could be two other teams that want to throw their hats into the ring. AFC South preview coming up next. Hour number two, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.